Now, let's turn our attention to Mike Zuzlow. Good morning to you, Mike, at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
Good morning, Todd. Nice to be with you again, sir.
I'd like to discuss China. I hear you've been doing a little bit of research on their consumption and demand patterns. What have you found? Anything interesting?
Yeah, I think so, especially given this week's numbers. We got the GDP for the third quarter on Monday morning. It came out better than expected at 6.9%, with essentially consumption coming to the rescue, making up about 51% of the GDP. I wanted to get into the Chinese demand a lot more and consumption a lot more because I'm working on an energy special report, getting fired up for the fall outlook coming up here in Bloomington Normal in about a month, and also really trying to think about how China's going to handle the potential for the Fed rate liftoff here if it happens in the month of December. But so the GDP number comes in good. The market comes into more of a risk-on bias. And then China comes in and cuts their rate last night substantially, sixth time since last November, Todd. And so we're down now at a lending rate for the one-year benchmark at 4.35%. Banks are required to hold now about 17.5% of their reserve requirement. That's down about 0.5%. And this rate cut comes in and takes the market and splits it back to where the dollar is sharply higher, equities are sharply higher, commodities start to see a risk-off mindset again. And so what do these factors suggest? I think China is looked upon as being weaker than thought because of what they did on Friday morning. And I think, yeah, that's true in manufacturing, but the Chinese government, I think, is doing a very effective job right now because of those GDP numbers in ensuring increased consumption. I think this is really supportive for the demand for commodities in the medium term, in other words, in 2016. And I think this in part explains why the bean exports have been so, so strong in the past 5 to 6 weeks. And energy demand has been extremely strong. In fact, it was just released today that Kuwait has now sold a record amount of exports of oil to China at this point in time, even with the dollar where it's at. So I think while the short-term market investment allocation looks nasty for the commodities, I think we're building a very nice demand base with China leading in terms of their consumption.
So this relates back to the dollar, and the dollar has been rallying. It started to rally again, and it's now breached 97. It hasn't done that for, I don't remember for how long, just at this point, for quite some time. That usually is bad news for the export market. Are you of the mind that consumption in China will continue to come from the United States for soybeans?
I do, and I think, you know, there is no way of getting around this, that the wheat and corn exports are still lagging, and I think this is the biggest weight. It has been the biggest weight on this market other than China, but China was related to the MIR 162 issue. If you go back and think about the last couple years, China has been at the heart of this demand worry, and yet the market has already priced in the worst prices since 2008, 2009, since the financial crisis, in many cases across a broad spectrum of commodities in the futures market. But what we saw this week, Todd, I think is the best glimmer of hope we have when it comes to demand, whether it's domestic feed demand or whether it's a little bit less supply or whether it's export demand brewing here, other than this Chinese data, is the corn basis is starting to really come around, the cash basis really starting to move. Not just in Decatur, where it's gone from five over in the middle of part of early part of September when we really started ramping up in harvest, to 19 over now in Decatur posted, but in Davenport, Iowa, we've gone from 35 under in early September to 19 under now. And that's with the corn futures just about exactly where they were back in early September. So we've had a 14 to 16 cent appreciation in the cash price of corn since we've come through this last, you know, going into this last third or 20% of corn harvest. I think that says a lot about this looming demand and feed demand and maybe even some less supply out there than maybe what the USDA is expecting as far as yield.
What will lead the demand or consumption for corn?
You know, I really think it's the wheat. You know, I hate to be a broken record, but I think we've put it back on the wheat shoulders, and it's very interesting. Today could be one of those days where you see the crude oil find a little bit of firmness, the dollar comes off its strength, and then all of a sudden maybe the hard red wheat comes alive with some nice short covering at the end of the week here. Why would that be? Because the American models turned very, very dry for most of Kansas and the hard red wheat belt in particular for the next 7 days. And we just didn't get enough rain west of where I'm at the earlier this week to make up the difference of how dry we are. So if these models stay dry on the midday maps, I'll be interested to see where we close on the hard red wheat futures.
Since we've been taking a broader perspective, and you mentioned crude, do you suppose that OPEC will open the spigot or close the spigot just a bit more anytime soon, and that will run prices to, what, $55 or $60 a barrel?
Yeah, I do. I think they probably will continue to move towards helping Latin American OPEC producers more and more.
Screaming.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have out there looming the Iranian increase if the Iranian nuclear deal goes through. And so as we get into the horizon of January, February, Iran could really start pumping up the volume. And I think Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Qatar are probably going to have to realize that and make plans for that. There's no question. I've got some really nice charts in this special report of how much extraction has dropped. I mean, we're seeing extraction rates here in the United States drop as fast, if not faster, than the financial crisis. And so I think we're really, really limiting non-OPEC supplies as we get into 2016. And I think that fits nicely with some of these longer-term commodity index charts signaling a potential low and a cycle low coming up as we get into 2016.
So they've nearly completed what they set out to do, probably, which was to shut off expansion in the U.S. marketplace of domestic oil supplies.
I think that's exactly right. And I think as long as the dollar stays firm, I don't think they're going to need to do much more as far as talking about OPEC.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking with you again this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Todd.
That, of course, Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Joins us on this mid-morning market report from Illinois Public Media. The energies at this hour are trading crude oil at $44.89 a barrel. They're down about 50 cents for the morning. Ethanol futures are down 6 tenths of a cent per gallon at $1.55 3/10 in the gasoline on the wholesale price. The RBOB at $1.31 2/10 is up 6/10. November diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.48 is a penny and a half higher, and natural gas for the day at $2.33 6/10 is about 5 cents lower on the morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,522, up 113 points. The U.S. dollar at 97 even, up 0.546 for the day. And the gold futures are currently trading $1,163.50 per troy ounce. They're down $2.60. Recapping what's happening in the grains markets, corn futures are down 2 to 3, beans are down 4 to 5, wheat down 4 cents in both the hard and the soft red, and the live cattle futures for the day about $1.20 lower, 85 cents lower in the feeder cattle, and lean hogs are down $2.15. Illinois Public Media, of course, is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana, headed to a high today of 75 degrees, a chance of showers between noon and 1, and then a chance of showers again after 1 p.m. and some thunderstorms.